Seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the pagans were leading St. Pionius to the place of martyrdom, they were surprised to see the joy that lightened up his countenance, and how eagerly he ran towards the place of his death. "What makes you so happy?" they asked him. "And why do you run forward with so much eagerness to death?" "You are mistaken," answered the martyr. "I am not going to die. I am about to begin a life that will never end. On Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension of our Blessed Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, where he did take up his permanent abode at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. The mystery of the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord and the octave of the Ascension in which we stand now forcibly reminds us that not this earth, but heaven, is our true home. Therefore Christ said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If not, I would have told you, because I go to prepare a place for you." On the day of the Ascension, the portals of heaven, which had been barred against mankind, are now open, and it is the will of God that men enter. But what must we do in order to reach heaven? A sister of St. Thomas Aquinas, being very solicitous for her salvation, one day asked her brother the following question: "Dear brother, what must I do to go to heaven?" "My sister," replied the saint, "if you wish to get to heaven, you must will it." But how is that? Do we really have this earnest desire to go to heaven, and do we take the necessary means in order to obtain heaven? Are we absolutely convinced that the only purpose of our life is to go to heaven? We remember the first question of our catechism. Why did God make you? God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. But man has forgotten this essential truth. The problem of modern man is that he has forgotten the purpose of his life on this earth. That's the very problem. That is to say, he has forgotten his end for which he was created, namely heaven. Don't let us make a mistake. The only purpose of our life on this earth is not to get as rich as we can, or that we receive honors, dignities, and powers, or that we enjoy the pleasures of this life as much as we can, but that we do the will of God, and that after this life we go to the kingdom of heaven. This glorious kingdom, heaven, for the sake of which the apostles not only quitted their earthly possessions and renounced all their prospects in this life, but suffered moreover, even with joy, so many labors, fatigues, and persecutions which they had to undergo in the establishment of the only true religion, that great and glorious kingdom, for the gaining of which the martyrs endured so many tortures and torments, and even sacrificed their very life, reflecting, like St. Paul, that the sufferings of this present life, of this present time, which are light and momentary, are not worthy to compare with the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. What is heaven? Heaven is the state of everlasting life in which we see God face to face and are made like unto Him in glory and enjoy eternal happiness. St. Paul says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what things God has prepared for them that love Him. What is heaven? Vain would be any attempt to describe the happiness of heaven, for this would be no less than an attempt to describe the divine attributes, the infinite perfections of God, wherein that happiness consists. In order, however, to form some faint idea of the happiness of heaven, let us consider that it is the glorious kingdom which our great Creator has prepared in order to display to His beloved servants the riches of His mercy and the bounteous effects of His power and goodness, and in which He communicates to them Himself in all His majesty and with all the charms of His infinite sweetness. If the punishments which He has prepared for the wicked in hell are so very severe and intense that it is beyond the power of man to conceive them, if the divine justice is so terrible as to affect so much in punishing, what will not be His love, His mercy, and His bounty in rewarding? If the divine love towards us could even induce God to become man in order to purchase the redemption of sinners, what will not that same love prompt Him to do for His faithful and beloved servants in manifesting to them the excess of His goodness? One day, God was pleased to give to St. Catherine of Siena a little glimpse of the glory of heaven, which He would one day bestow on her and on all those who would be faithful to Him while they dwelt in this world. When the vision was over, she went down to the other nuns in the convent, but her face was so bright that they could scarcely look upon it. They know that she must have had a vision, and they asked her to tell them what she had seen. Oh, she exclaimed, I have seen such wonderful things. But she could say no more. When her confessor heard about it, he asked her to tell him more plainly what God had been pleased to show her. Father, she answered, it is quite impossible for me to tell you what I saw. No human tongue could express, no words could describe the beauty of the heavenly things God showed me. The reward which he will give to everyone who serves and loves him in this world. Oh, it is beautiful beyond all that can be imagined. Should we be so happy as to arrive hereafter at heaven, we shall there be associated forever with all these blessed spirits and saints of God, with them to enjoy this unspeakable happiness. Yes, there we shall be associated with the angel and archangel, with our guardian angel, with the cherubim and seraphim, who are all to be our companions in glory, with that innumerable host of sacred virgins who follow the Lamb wherever it goeth, with that innumerable host of generous martyrs who having sealed their faith with their blood, are now crowned with honor and glory by him who sitteth upon the throne, with the innumerable host of the holy patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and other saints, all bearing the emblems of their victories, and with exultation singing hymns of praise to the divine bounty. And above all, the Blessed Mother of the Redeemer, our Mother, the glorious Queen of Heaven, seated on a throne of glory, exalted above the cherubim and seraphim. Oh, what an additional joy will this glorious society be to our felicity! All rejoicing at and participating in each other's happiness as if it were their own. If our heart will not then be able to contain its own joy, what overwhelming delight must we feel under such an accumulation of felicity? But that which is the completion of the beatitude of the blessed in heaven, that in which their happiness essentially consists, is the sight and possession of God himself. For although heaven abounds with every good, yet it possesses but sovereign good, which is to see God unceasingly, to behold him face to face. In this beatific vision is comprised the whole felicity of the heavenly paradise. From it, as from an inexhaustible source, every enjoyment proceeds. For to see the face of the living God, exclaims St. Augustine, is the supreme good, the joy of the angels and of all the saints, the everlasting source of bliss, the eternal and external joy that delights the paradise of God, the plenitude of happiness, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. As soon, therefore, as a soul is secured in the possession and enjoyment of her God, she is absolutely happy, and that thirst which in this life was ever hurrying her forward in the pursuit of happiness is perfectly satisfied. She has obtained the object of all her desires. Our delightful occupation will then be to contemplate eternally the perfections of Almighty God, whereby our souls will be overwhelmed continually with new raptures of divine love, and will be quite lost in the immensity and the incomprehensibility of their God. Oh, when will that happy moment come, which, closing our eyes forever to this world, we will open them to see God face to face, to behold Him arrayed in all the charms of His infinite perfections. How dreadful would be our misfortune then if for the perishable goods of this world we should lose this infinite and endless treasure of everlasting happiness. Let us therefore make the firm purpose to combat our immoderate attachment to the things of this world, and to set our whole heart on the treasures of heaven. Let us resolve henceforth to manage our temporal affairs not for the gratification of our passions, of our avarice, ambition and sensuality, but as the discharge of our duty that has been imposed upon us by God, that the things of this world may be for us a stepping stone to things eternal. Thus our hearts shall be free, and we shall walk without faltering to the glory which our Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us in His heavenly kingdom. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.